inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. We got Bob McEwen with us today. We're going to be talking tariffs and economics in a world where America is put first by the President of the United States. What a difference that creates. And I know the tariff issue has been debated, is being debated greatly among our conservative friends. Certainly, we are free market oriented and free trade, but you got to have free trade to have free trade. Know what I'm saying? All right. So anyway, we got Bob McEwen here to talk about it. Congressman, thank you so much for coming on today.
You know, the honor is mine. Great, Rick.
Well, hey, you know, a lot has happened in the last few months. In fact, we haven't had you in a few weeks, and so much that President Trump is doing. Everything from, of course, the deportations to the you know, tariffs to supporting Israel. I mean, there's so much we could talk about, brother. Let's talk some economics, though. You managed to take these complicated topics and make them where even a country boy like me can understand them. And the big one right now is tariffs. What's your take on this? Is it just being used as a negotiating tactic? Is it good or bad? I mean, what's Bob McEwen think about all this?
Well, Rick, let me, it's important that when you're old that you not reminisce too much, but I think it's appropriate if we recall there are those that didn't go through the 1970s, that everything under Jimmy Carter, and we've just lived through Joe Biden, who is Jimmy Carter 2.0, but it was the same sort of thing, 18% inflation in the 1970s, 21% interest rates, declining standard of living, gas lines, everything you can think about was falling apart. Architecturally, houses 7-foot ceilings, and it was all of this natural wood and all. Had shag carpeting, and the cars were falling apart. Haircuts, you name the styles. Everything was a mess. And in fact, we were declining in economically, militarily, and politically. And more countries went communist under Jimmy Carter than any president since Truman. And the head of the Council of Economic Advisors, our number one cheerleader, said, the question is not whether or not America will have a declining standard of living in the 1980s. The question is whether or not they'll learn to adapt to their declining standard of living. And on election night, 1980, Ronald Reagan said, there's nothing wrong with this country that proper leadership can't cure. And he began to come in by cutting taxes and getting the economy going again. We went back to two-story homes, using brick, putting porches again. People began cutting their hair. The styles and the 3 out of every 4 jobs created on this planet in the 1980s were created in one country, the United States of America. And by 1989, the entire world was chanting USA, USA, USA. And so having lived through that, we've now seen this thing again.
And that, Bob, by the way, that was a total rebirth after a president had said, you know, like you said, like the economic advisor did, you're just going to have to get used to that. This is just the malaise that, our best days are behind us. I mean, what a depressing time, and to have the leader of the country actually encouraging the depression, and then to go from that to mourning in America. Big, big change.
But, Rick, it was completely agreed. All of the professors and all the general consensus was that America had crushed it. America was through. They formed a thing called, it's now called the African Union. It was called the Conference on African Unity. The first meeting that they had, 56 African countries, they chose the head of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev, to give the first speech. And he said, because of what we are doing, that's the Soviet Union, because of what we are doing, by the end of this decade, by 1990, we will be able to work our will any place on the planet because the correlation of forces, economic, military, and political are on the side of socialism and communism. And so the professional bedwetters are from particularly the ivory tower, they don't know what got them into the mess, therefore they don't know how to get out. Now, that brings us up to today. And we can see that this country is right on the threshold of taking off like a rocket. Now, we were on the edge of a precipice. Had we continued the direction that we were going, we would have been in trouble. So what is one of the real prohibitions to success is taxes. When people take money out of your pocket, you can't spend it for yourself. That means you have fewer choices and you have a lower standard of living. And that's what the left always wants to do in any country whenever they take control, or any city or any state. And we see the four largest states in the union are California, New York, Texas, and Florida. Two of them are red, two of them are blue. Two of them are prospering and growing, two are collapsing and people fleeing. So it's not complicated. And so what Donald Trump has said, that these other countries that have said, you can stand on the street corner any place in Europe and you won't see a single American car go by. Why? Because there's a 26% tariff on any cars being sold into the European Union. And so we have, for the first time in a long time, a president that says, I'm on the side of the American. I'm on the side of the steel worker, the rubber worker, the auto worker. I'm going to defend an American. That is, if you, Mr. Mercedes, Audi, Volkswagen, if you want to sell a car to America, well, we'll just put the 26% tariff on your car as well. And now they say, oh, my goodness, oh, that's so distressing. And I repeat, the professional bedwetters in the ivory towers, they're saying, oh, this is really terrible. But what's going to happen? You just watch what's going to happen. That is that they're now coming and saying, all right, we'll drop the tariff, the taxes on American cars. We're going to open up those markets that America's been frozen out of for the last 30 to 40 years. And we're going to see a renaissance. And this is just one of the many ways. A new renaissance is now we're going after energy. We're beginning to use our oil and gas again. We're beginning to use our coal. The idea of having government sit on people is now being removed and allow the ingenuity and the characteristic and capability of Americans to spring forth. And the world is going to be blessed just as you and I are.
I'm telling you, no one can summarize it like Bob McEwen. That was that's exactly what I needed to know, because, you know, it's the whole, I think what you just described is an America first foreign policy, tariff policy, tax policy, literally saying I'm going to put Americans ahead of these other countries. And Bob, I didn't even know, I don't do a lot of international travel. I hadn't even thought about that. In so many of these countries, you don't see the American vehicles, the American goods, yet we still have the, you know, the best economy and these amazing products and all that. But there's so many of these countries where we haven't been able to sell our goods into there, but we gladly accept their goods into our nation. So the president's just leveling the playing field. If we want free trade, we got to actually have free trade.
Well, Rick, what he's doing is so unbelievably good that it's hard to overstate. Now, in order to do these things, like, let me just give you an example about taxes. There's a thing that's called expensing. That is that if you spend money to take in money, that's called a capital gain. And so if you tax the capital, then that discourages people from doing it. And so when he got elected the first time in the last quarter of 2017, his first tax cuts went into effect. And it said that if you take money out of your till and you don't put it in your pocket, that would be income. If you invest it in new equipment in order to make more jobs, we won't tax it between you and the job. So in the last quarter of 2017, when it dropped, the expensing, the tax for capital investment went to zero. It was the highest in the free world. It went down to zero. In the last 90 days of 2017, more truck cabs, that's the big truck vehicles, more trucks were ordered in those 90 days than had been ordered in the previous 3.5 years in America. So when you quit stealing from people, then they begin to produce. So what we're about to see here is a very interesting time. Now, this is why we need to sit tight and be adults about this, because the end is beyond our wildest hopes. And that is, let's take the stock market. During COVID, the stock market went up. Now, let me go through it again. During COVID, the stock market went up. Why? Because the publicly held companies, if you own a store on Main Street, then you and your wife own it or your family. But if you have a big corporation that you sell stock, then you list it on the stock exchange, and they report they have certain standards. So the large companies, such as Costco and Walmart and all, those are publicly held companies, not private, publicly held. Now, during COVID, when the government shut down all the small businesses, shut down all the privately held businesses, that meant that every day the competition to these large corporately held companies was diminished. So that means every day they got more and more market share, because every day more and more small businesses went out of business. More and more stores closed on Main Street. Now, that was wrong. It was improper. And Donald Trump, God love him, said that's not fair. Therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to give those same advantages back to the little guy on Main Street. And we're going to protect him so that these global deals that the big guys can make, They can't defend themselves against some widget manufacturer in India or a widget manufacturer in China. So we're going to put up a barrier that will protect him so that he can begin to build it here at home. Now, what happens? That means that some of the money that's gone to these handful of very large global companies is going to diminish, and it's going to flow back into the capital and financial markets on Main Street. And that, and in order to do that, there's a period of readjustment, and you can count the number of politicians with the backbone to do that on one hand and virtually with one finger.
Yep.
Because this has been needed for a long, long time. And as Donald Trump said the other day, and he's exactly right, he said, I'm the only one that would have the guts to do this. And I agree.
Yeah. You know, what you just described is that there's so few that can weather the storm where once you make that policy, you know, just like with Reagan in 81 and the tax cuts and everybody in his administration trying to convince him to reverse course, it's not working and you had to give it time to work. There's so few people that have the backbone to do that. And I think you're right. Right now, today, he's the one guy that can do it. He's proven he can do it. He can weather that storm. He's going to stay the course and until those corrections take place. Just an exciting, exciting time to be alive. Hey, Congressman, before I let you go, we had a question from an audience member about just the debt itself and who that's owed to and how, you know, for most people, they just hear we got $36 trillion in debt. Well, who do we owe for that? And that you always hear China owns a big chunk of that debt. What's your simple explanation for who owns the debt and whether or not our enemies can use that as a weapon against us?
Well, let's explain, how do you get money? There isn't a window that Uncle Sam goes to borrow. And there's a thing called a bond. And that is that if you and I want to borrow money to buy a car, we go to the bank and they give us money to buy the car. Let us suppose that we're General Motors and we want to borrow $150 million in order to build a new plant. Well, there's no bank that has $150 million laying around that they could loan it to us. And so General Motors writes on a piece of paper and puts a seal on there. And it says, if you will give us $10,000 for 5 years, we will repay it at 5% interest. That's called a piece of paper or called a bond. And when you go out and you try to sell the bond, if people trust the company, then they'll buy the bond. But if they don't trust the company, then it just sits there. Now, with that same principle, that applies to governments. And so when the government of Greece needs some money, then they make a scroll and they write a piece of paper and they create a bond. And they say that if you loan us the money, we, the government of Greece, will repay it in 5 years or 10 years or whatever the bond is for a certain percentage. And that's the way governments and large corporations, that's the way that they borrow money. Now, it just so happens that if people lose faith in the company, they don't borrow it. Or if, as happened with Greece, one morning when they needed some bonds and they wanted to sell their bonds, some of those bankers, some of those rich people in Europe looked at that and said, you know, I don't trust those birds. I'm not going to buy it. And so when a major bank said no, well, that ricochets around in about 30 seconds. Some other banks say, oh, they're not buying it either. Within a half an hour, they find out that nobody in Europe is going to buy the bonds. Now, that's called a bankruptcy. That means they have to renegotiate their debt. They have to get a country like the United States to give them additional money in order to bail themselves out to get squared away. Otherwise, their system collapses because the banking system no longer has enough to function. Now, that's the United States is considered the most trusted nation on earth. That is that we have always maintained our national debt at about 30% of GDP. That is, of all the goods and services that we make. Like if your daughter makes $10,000 a year and she has a $3,000 debt, she can handle that. But if she's making $100,000 a year, then she could perhaps handle a $30,000 debt. So it's based upon the economy. In the United States, if you look at all since World War II, has been just about perfectly flat, fluctuating, but right around 30% of GDP for all these many years until COVID and until these people have just lost all control. And we now have surpassed 100% of our GDP in debt. And so who does that? Well, with those bonds, people like you and I and the local banker and other nations, they have been buying the bonds. But here's the concern, is that there's a great desire to get a substitute for that. And those were called the BRIC, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And they got together and they said, we need to make a currency that's different from America.
Hold that thought. We're up against a hard break here. We'll get to conclusion with Bob McEwen in just a second. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Let's jump right back in with Congressman Bob McEwen, just wrapping up our discussion with him. And he was just explaining the whole effort to form this currency, this BRIC currency, and replace the American currency.
And those were called the BRIC, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And they got together and they said, we need to make a currency that's different from America. And so they then began to say, we need to back it up. They don't, nobody trusts us. So we'll back it with a percentage of gold because everybody trusts gold. And in the meeting a year ago in October, 22 nations met. And let me tell you this, Barack Obama called every one of those nations and asked them to go to the BRIC conference in South Africa and to sign up on their commitment that they were going to go to switch from using American bonds as a source of security in their bank account.
Wow. He actually undermined our own currency by encouraging this.
And all 22 of those nations decided, and that's where we were headed. And had we lost this election, America's debt is now makes us vulnerable. They were developing an alternative. And the whole thing would have been a collapse. And one of the things that Donald Trump said, he wasn't in office 48 hours. He said, BRIC is dead. BRIC is dead. Now, what did he mean? He means that he's going to play hardball. He's going to keep them. He's not going to increase the American debt. Those people are playing their games. And this nation is not only coming back from the brink, it's now going to take off like a rocket. And people are not going to trust those other folks. And already Saudi Arabia and the others have reneged and they're going to stay on the American dollar. And every day we go by, it's going to get stronger and stronger.
So good. So good. So quick summary on that, just to make sure I understood that right. Like when you said, you know, the most trusted that the American Treasury bond, you know, that was one that you knew America is going to pay this. They're going to be good for it. And compared to other countries, you're just not too sure it's going to work. And it was because it stayed steady at that 30% of the total GDP. And then we ratcheted it up to 100% under COVID. And now President Trump is going to help get us back down to a reasonable level, which is why we keep hearing Elon and President Trump and all these others saying we have to get rid of the fraud and the waste and the abuse, and we have to get that debt down. So we're finally getting some sense about us and taking the right steps. Congressman Bob McEwen, God bless you, brother. Thank you for coming on and sharing so much with us today.
All right, that was Congressman Bob McEwen. While we're on the topic of economics, we've got Kevin Freeman with us. We're going to be talking about his book, Pirate Money, and, of course, the efforts to get transactional gold passed in several states across the country. This is actually an interview I did with Kevin in the Tavern. As I mentioned, I guess it was last week or earlier this week, can't remember. The Tavern is a show that I do for Warrior Poet Society Network and also for Patriot U. If you haven't been to PatriotU.com, go check that out. But the Tavern is essentially a place we have conversations about the strategies and tactics that preserve freedom. And I named it that because the taverns of the Revolutionary period were restaurants, not so much bars. So it's not a place you go get drunk. It's a place you have conversations and have meals, and a place Washington said goodbye to his troops, where the Constitution was ratified, first ratified there in Delaware. A lot of good stuff happened in these taverns, especially the Sons of Liberty meeting and talking about, you know, their basically secret strategies and tactics to save the country. We don't have to make a secret anymore, but we do need to gather. And so I do this show, The Tavern, to bring in guys like Kevin Freeman to talk about those constitutional strategies and tactics to save the country. And this conversation is timely because, in fact, after this interview with Kevin, we finally got transactional gold passed in the first state. It was Arkansas that adopted it first. Now I think there's three that have done it in just the last week or so. Texas is on the cusp, but I don't know if we'll get it done or not. We'll see. At any rate, very, very interesting conversation coming up for the rest of this segment and the final segment in our program today. Here's Kevin Freeman in the Tavern. Hey, welcome back to the Tavern. Kevin is in studio. You're not just like, we're not on screen, like acting like, yeah, we're...
No, I'm not artificial intelligence.
You are the first in the person flesh to be Kevin Freeman, the first actual in Tavern guest that we ever had.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
I'm honored. I was Glenn Beck's first guest in this new studio.
Well, I'm like one-tenth of one-tenth of one-tenth of Glenn Beck's studio. I mean, Glenn Beck's audience.
Oh, this is amazing. I had no idea you had all this.
Well,
here,
we're just putting it in. So we're kind of still putting things together. I got my J6 painting over there by McNaughton and our burning Constitution, which I feel much better about this part today than I did when we hung that 3 or 4 months ago.
It is looking good.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, maybe if we do well, Marnie will finally let me come to Liberty Hawk and visit your studio.
You're welcome, regardless of what she says. You're welcome.
Even anytime. If Marnie says no, Kevin,
but you have to bring Kara, and then you're always welcome.
And then it's done. Well, or Cameron, if I bring
Cameron is perfect.
She's been there with Kara.
Yep.
Yeah, Marnie lets them come. She won't let me come. By the way, Art Alley, if you're watching, look here, man. Timothy Plan, we're advertising for you right
now. Yep. And it's a nice shirt. The one you said, this is a nice one. You'll like it. I do like it.
So listen, you're in town. You came and spoke to the Fredericksburg Tea Party. Had a good time last night?
It was fabulous. Yeah. Great crowd, great patriots. Fredericksburg is an amazing community.
It's a great place.
It is. I mean, the true patriots here, and now with Patriot Academy. Yes. I mean, you can't get better. This is going to be a landmark in the state of Texas right here because Patriot Academy. I mean, they're going to start building monuments here. It's going to have tourist business here.
Love it.
And it's going to be like Waco with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yes.
Only it's going to be for Liberty and not for home decoration.
Did you have to say Waco, though? Because I already have people going, is that Rick Green like a David Koresh guy? Are they building a big cult there?
No, that wasn't even Waco. And that's so long ago. Your good young audience doesn't even know about Branch Davidian.
We had a whole bunch of Fredericksburg people come out a couple weeks ago and had a reception over the chamber, which you got to see yesterday. And, wine. We had a wonderful evening. And I can't tell you how many of them were like, we just wanted to make sure you weren't doing a, cult. We were
no Kool-Aid.
Just because you call it Patriot.
No Kool-Aid is served at the tavern. This is not a Kool-Aid place.
Yes, that's exactly right. But Jesus is Lord here, so we'll make that clear. I have a bone to pick with you, man. I can't believe that you're going to end up passing transactional gold in another state other than Texas before Texas.
It is still possible for Texas to get it done.
Someone else beat Texas.
Get on the phone. Call Brian Hughes. Call
it's
the lieutenant governor.
That we're
call the governor. Call
Florida,
Speaker
Utah,
Justin
all these other
Burroughs,
yeah.
And tell him that you want that here.
I wish it would be.
It can be here.
No, I'm actually thankful that you're strategic enough to go do it in all these other states so that we can get it done.
Texas can be first still.
We have to update everybody because this. First of all, you got to read Pirate Money. Get the book. I should have had your book out. I just moved in here, so I don't have. I did have your book on my desk. That desk right over there at my other office in Dripping Springs. But somehow in the move, maybe Marnie can find it in one of those boxes and throw it at us. No.
Hey, she can get one out of the car.
Yeah, you should. By the time we're done, we'll have a Pirate Money book to show. But anyway, you need to read it. And what's the best way to help? I mean, to get this done, we did a whole show on this about what it is. We'll remind you a little bit in a minute. But if you're this close in some of these states, what's the push like that we can do, that voters in the state can do?
First off, people need to know this is just another way to pay. If you use Zelle or Venmo or PayPal, wouldn't you like to be able to do that with gold or silver because they hold their value?
Yeah.
So it's very, very simple. People complicate it too much. But it gives you the chance to be on a personal, optional gold or silver standard. It avoids capital gains tax risks.
All the IRS reporting you have to do.
Yes, the federal government trying to take the gold like they did in 1933, which was undoubtedly unconstitutional.
Yeah.
But it's possible with simple legislation for Article 1, Section 10 money to be made real. And all you got to do is go to transactionalgold.com. Look at transactionalgold.com and see what efforts we have in your state. Because I know you cover the nation with the tavern.
Yeah.
And find out what's going on in your state and then contact your legislator. We actually have bill numbers being put in. We're keeping real-time tab with great people like David Barton's Pro Family Legislative Group, like the National Association.
In fact, I bet you ended up with some states filing as a result of
absolutely.
Not this last time, but the time before that, and then this last time, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We met new people there and at NACL, National Association of Christian Lawmakers, Jason Raper, and we met people through the State Financial Officers Foundation, like Marla Oaks, who's the treasurer in Utah, like the treasurer John Fleming in Louisiana, like Todd Russ in Oklahoma, actually Jimmy Petronas, who's the CFO in Florida, but is soon to be in Congress because he's running on the Republican ticket in a very conservative, it's Matt Gaetz's seat.
He's
a very conservative seat, and he's got President Trump's endorsement. So we're not endorsing him. It's just any honest observer will say that guy's got a good shot at
this. Yeah.
And the Republicans.
Look who just came in and brought us a pirate money book.
And a treasure map.
And, look at this. If you don't know Kevin and Marnie, you need to know Kevin and Marnie, but just know Marnie's the smart one. She's the brains behind the
operation.
She's the
pretty one.
She's just like my marriage with Kara. She's got all the right, you know, background, all the right wisdom. We're just dancing chickens.
And people like
Kara and Marnie. And people like them. They don't like us. Yeah, it's true. It's okay, tell us. Wait, first I got to show the book. This is fun. We should do this in person more, Kevin. Marnie's over here actually dancing. So she's the dancing chicken, too.
We should have camera operator number 7. The guy running the big jib back there, he needs to turn and catch Marnie in the studio audience. Because this massive, I've been on Dr. Phil's set, and it's really nice. But you got him beat all over the place.
All the way. Okay, Pirate Money, right there. Now, is your website where you want people to go to get it? And we're going to start carrying it at Patriot Academy, but we don't have it in the store yet. So you got to go.
PirateMoneyBook.com.
There it is, PirateMoneyBook.com. Okay, I'm going to admit once again, I think I did this when we were on before. I always do a Constitution class. When I do a live class, I always start by saying, hey, I can be wrong. You got to correct me. Iron sharpening iron. I learned more from Kevin about Article 1, Section 10 and how this works than I would have ever. I was wrong. And the first time I filmed my class, when I got to that part, I totally described it wrong. I didn't talk about this option. And that was 15 years ago. I'm telling you, you got to read this book. I learned so much. And we're actually, you know, we've got clips of Kevin that we've been sharing with people and what we've been talking about and getting our coaches to talk about this around the country. So get the book and get educated on this. Tell us what this is.
Well, this is a treasure map. But before we leave Article 1, Section 10, I want to tell you this is very important to understand. A continental note produced in Philadelphia in 1776. I have one as a keepsake. It's a $4 note. It says this note's payable in 4 Spanish mill dollars or the equivalent in gold and silver bullion. From the beginning of the founding of this nation, gold and silver were money. Now, you could have them coined and you could exchange coins, but if you didn't have any coins, you could use actual gold and silver bullion. And that's what our legislation's based on, that reality. And it's been documented in court cases, including Bronson versus Roach, which is a cool court case. Can I tell you about that?
Yeah, wait. Just for the people that may have been new viewers that you weren't with us whenever Kevin was on, whenever that was, 2 or 3 months ago, you don't have to carry the actual coins. That's what he's talking about, is you literally, it would be like a credit card, same way you pay with any other credit card, but it's drawing on your gold and silver. So you don't have to haul around bags of gold and silver. I just want to make sure they didn't.
Which is, people say, well, that's weird. You don't haul around your cash, do you?
Right.
I mean, how much do you have in your wallet?
Not enough.
Versus how much you have in your bank account.
Right.
So you don't carry a lot of cash. Most people don't. So there's a debit card and you can put the gold and silver on deposit in Leander, which is not, it can't be far from here.
No, an hour and a half. Yeah,
in Leander. And then they'll give you a debit card and they'll keep track of what you spend and what you don't spend, just like the bank does with your debit card. Under the Constitution, a state can make gold and silver coins. They said they can't make anything other than gold and silver legal tender. And the reason for that was we have 13 states at the beginning, and they didn't want New York to have their gold coin to be 40% gold and 60% base metal, and then have New Jersey be a little bit different, and then have Virginia be a little bit different. They wanted it uniform.
Yeah.
So they could only use gold and silver coins that they didn't mint, and they mint Spanish coins. Spanish mill dollars or Spanish gold doubloons. It's also called an escudo. A mill dollar was known as a piece of eight, and an escudo was known as gold doubloon. So when you hear gold doubloons and pieces of eight, you think Captain Jack Sparrow, you think Long John Silver, you think Blackbeard, you think pirates.
My son Reagan was here. He does a great Jack Sparrow. Could have inserted that. It would have been funny, but I'm terrible at it, so I'm not even trying.
All right. Yeah. So that's why we made a treasure map, because it's all about pirate money, and this is what the treasure map looks like. We get shipwrecked at Jekyll Island. And if you don't know what Jekyll Island is, read the book Creature from Jekyll Island. It's about the founding of the Federal Reserve.
Which you actually went there last year.
I did.
Yeah.
It's an extra constitution. I mean, the Congress deeded their ability to coin money to the Federal Reserve, and they created this quasi-governmental institution that's part private bank, part under government control, but they print and produce our money. Here's a question.
Terrible year, by the way, 1913 is when they did the income tax, 16th Amendment, and they got rid of, you know, electing our senators through our legislature, 17th Amendment, and the Fed all in 1 year. What were they smoking?
It was 1913, right? 13 is unlucky, right?
There it is, yes.
All right, so when they did this at Jekyll Island and they gave them this authority, I've got a real tough question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do we print money as a nation?
Do we print money?
Yeah. Do we print money?
This is a trick question. Yeah. No, we print a piece of paper. I don't know what the right question is.
The answer is yes. Yeah. I mean, do we print dollar bills?
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
All right. And the government can print as much as they want, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
But does the government also borrow money?
Yes.
Why is it if we print money that we have to borrow money?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer. I had three in a row, and then I'm stumped on the last one. I don't know. Why is that?
You know, Jared Bernstein, who was the number one economist under Joe Biden, was asked that question. And he said, well, we definitely print money, and we definitely loan that money. No? Is that what we do?
Mm-hmm.
We definitely print money, and then we loan. No, we sell bonds. Yeah, that's what we do. We sell bonds, but that's borrowing. He couldn't answer it either.
Okay.
Top economist.
Wait, but he worked for Biden. I don't want to be in that category. You just threw me in the category with Biden's economic advisors.
No, I actually...
Do you think it's because they actually know that if you print too much, you're going to devalue and all that?
Nope. The reason for it is to insert a bank in between.
Huh.
J.P. Morgan and a bunch of bankers met on Jekyll Island at the Rockefeller Mansion, and they decided, how can we get control of the money supply? They took it away from the Treasury. They put it in the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve then is the one that loans the money out. They borrow, the federal government borrows from them. They sell Treasury bonds to the Federal Reserve, and that's how they control monetary.
So not only do they make tremendous money being the go-between, they actually get to control and manipulate the market as well.
And that's how we got shipwrecked on Jekyll Island. The Federal Reserve has been the one responsible for enabling our government.
We got shipwrecked on Jekyll Island.
And so then we got to find
this guy's pretty good. We should get him a show.
Yeah.
Can you think of something like economic, I don't know, you're sort of like at war, so maybe economic war room?
Oh, that perhaps?
Would anybody watch that?
I hope so.
Yeah.
If economicwarroom.com, you can watch that show, Shine Up.
Sign up.
You know, I'm sitting here in the tavern.
What are we drinking?
Sign up to get our free economic battle plans at economicboardroom.com.
We really are just drinking sparkling water. We'll be right back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wallman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to As a Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. Segment 3, and we're going to jump right back into my interview with Kevin Friedman. If you have not read his book, you need to. Pirate Money is the name of it. This was a radical transformation in my thinking of what states could do with regard to gold and silver as currency, and it is catching fire. We've been working on this for years with Kevin, and now we're suddenly getting some victories. It's kind of one of those overnight successes that took years and years and years, right? It's not truly an overnight success. Kevin and Marty Freeman have been pouring into this for years. We've been helping. It's just incredible. But now you've got Arkansas and several other states that have passed it. I believe we'll see several more. And it's going to be a very good tool for you and for me to protect against the weakening of the dollar and many other economic issues. But let's jump back in with Kevin Friedman.
Here it is. All right. So you get shipwrecked at Jekyll Island. You go past the Emerald City, which is the story of the Wizard of Oz.
Hmm.
Most people don't know this. Wizard of Oz was written as an economic allegory. It was written in the year 1900, 125 years ago.
What do the red slippers stand for?
There were no ruby red slippers.
There weren't.
Not in the book. That's in the movie.
It's Hollywood.
So what was Dorothy was trying to get back to Kansas?
Yes.
In other words, people felt that America was off because we didn't have proper money anymore. And how do I get back to where I was? So, well, she gets attacked by the Wicked Witch of the Northeast, which represents the bankers.
And this is only 20, 30 years after, right? After 1913.
This is 1900, like 13 years before.
It's before.
Before the Federal Reserve. So we had greenbacks.
Now I'm confused.
All right. So in the greenbacks in the Civil War, you know, Lincoln basically produced unbacked paper money.
Okay.
And the South did too. Confederate dollars. And they just printed a bunch of money, and it created an economic hardship in the nation.
Okay.
And so in 1900, they were trying to get back to real America.
And it's the wooden nickel.
Yeah, wooden nickel. There you go.
Different story. Sorry. Kevin's like, if you would stop interrupting me, Rick, we could probably...
It's a lot funnier when Rick interrupts, isn't it? It's much better. All right, so Dorothy wanted to get home to normal America. And how's she going to do it? Well, they told her to follow the Yellow Brick Road. who wanted to stop her? The Wicked Witch of the Northeast, the bankers, sending out the flying monkeys representing lawyers. You're not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer, right? Oh, geez. I'll put it to you. I've got to dumb this down
now
again.
Now Martin's definitely
gotta,
not going to let me come.
I've got to make it even more basic. No, to send out the flying monkeys as lawyers.
Okay, now
if I start paying you cash on an hourly basis, I know you'll listen. Because yeah, that's all lawyers
right.
are good for.
You're right. You're right. Can we sign a representation agreement? I need to go.
So she's going to follow the yellow brick road. Okay. That's gold. And she wore silver slippers. So it's a gold and silver standard. It's called the Wizard of Ounce, O-Z. I get it, O-Z.
Gotcha now.
And then she stops by the Emerald City, which is here.
Okay.
And she finds out that's where the greenbacks are produced. They're green like the emerald. And she wants to know if the central bankers have any authority behind the curtain, or are they just making up fake money?
Gotcha.
And she finds out the wizard has nothing back behind the curtain.
So it's all a sham.
It's all a sham.
All right.
So she had to figure out how to get past that. And that is, she was there with the farmer, the scarecrow, the tin man, the factory worker, and even the large, the tea party of their day was the teetotaler movement, actually, right?
Huh.
At Toto. That was the nickname for the teetotalers.
No kidding. Did you know that P.T. Barnum was a teetotaler? I'm sorry. I know I'm sidetracked. Anyway, go ahead.
He needed to stay sober because he was fleecing everybody
he
else.
He made a bunch of his money back going out and giving speeches on the temperance tour. No
good
kidding.
For him.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Ago. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I know I'm sidetracking.
I didn't get that. What was that movie that
came out?
But you
brought up Toto,
so. Yeah. What was that movie that they just did?
The one that, what's his name? Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine. Yeah, what's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. Yes. No, it was great. The Greatest Showman. That's it.
The Greatest Showman.
But he also.
They didn't have that in there.
He was a state rep. P.T. Barnum, he was a state rep, and he voted for the 13th Amendment. He actually helped to ratify the end of slavery.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, I know.
You were a state rep.
Yes, but I didn't.
You're not the Greatest Showman. Don't break out singing. I don't
want
to hear it.
You don't want me to sing, yes.
Okay, so they go past the Emerald City. Then you go through inflation tidal wave, the taxation quicksand, the BRICS nations trying to destroy our currency. The ultimate goal is state-based economic freedom. That's the treasure. Because our economy was not intended to be controlled by the federal government. It was every state has their own economy. Texas is good at energy and a whole lot of other things. But if you leave it to the national government, then they're going to be infringing on a lot of what Texas is doing.
Well, if we do separate... If we pass this transactional gold in separate states, would you then have a choice where you know, which card or which source you would use?
Sure, because interstate commerce allows you to do business across state lines. That's the purpose of the Interstate Commerce Clause, is to keep states from going to war against each other.
Yeah.
It was to open up. It was not to control through the EPA, the wetlands and all that. That's just nonsense.
Yeah.
But this is state-based economic freedom, where if the federal government goes off the rails making too much money, you can hold gold and silver and use it like money, and the state will protect it. That is the entire message of the book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founder's Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. And when George Washington threw a dollar across the river, and it wasn't the Potomac, it was the Rappahannock River, and they actually have history to show this. They actually tested it. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
100 years ago.
We need to do a Chasing American Legends episode on this.
You should.
Yeah.
100 and some years ago, they got the best baseball pitcher to see if he could throw a dollar across. It was not a piece of paper with George's picture on it, wadded up.
Right.
It was a silver dollar. And you guess what? You can throw it across the river.
Skipping it?
No.
You just got to throw it across. That far.
Okay. But not the Potomac.
Ah.
That would be a little hard.
Yeah.
It was the Rappahannock River. And he did, apparently. There's legend is absolutely been Mythbusters style plausible.
Plausible.
Okay.
All right. Oh, wait. I got to go back to the having the transactional gold to protect us against an out-of-control federal monetary policy, even with a Trump type in office, even with good policy for a few years here, $37 trillion in debt, all of the, you know, economic chickens are going to come home to roost, right?
Right.
This is a protection for your personal wealth and so that the economy doesn't fall apart.
And let me be clear. We're not trying to get rid of the Federal Reserve. Somebody might try to do that, and I might even support it. But that's not what we're trying to do.
You don't have to do that.
We're trying to give states the option to have their own currency as the Constitution allowed. So up until 1857, I think it was, in the Coinage Act, any state can make Spanish mill dollars and gold doubloons legal tender.
And what year was that?
I think it's 1857 was the Currency Act. And at that, here's what happened. They literally said, we will now mint our own currency at the federal level, and therefore we will not allow you to use foreign coins anymore. So anyone who has a foreign coin, you need to bring it in, and we will melt it down, recast it, and give you a U.S. version of that. Hmm. And the people did not trust that they were going to put as much silver in the new coin as it was in the old coin, so people they didn't bring them. And they hoarded them. And so there were contracts that were written for gold and silver coins. And so, like, you and I had an agreement, and I said, you know, I'll pay you in 10 years, and I will pay you X number of gold coins, so many ounces of gold. And let's say 10 years passed, and there aren't any coins around, so I said, well, I'll pay you in legal tender. This piece of paper says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So I'm going to pay you back. And you said, whoa, we have a contract. I want the gold coins. Oh, no, this is just as good. You would be Bronson and I would be Rhodes. And Bronson decided to sue Rhodes.
He would get back to that case.
All the way up to the Supreme Court. Sue him all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court looked Bronson and Rhodes, and they had this incredible ruling. They said, hey, buddy, pay him in gold or silver. But no, there are no coins. You don't have to give him coins. And bullion is just as good, because what's the value of a coin other than it being a certain weight and a certain purity of gold or silver and a stamp on it that says the weight and purity? So just pay him the same amount in gold or silver. And Rhodes says, oh, shoot, I can't give him worthless paper. I have to actually give him gold and silver. That ruling makes this possible.
And it's Bronson versus
Rhodes.
Rhodes. We got to get this done, man. We got to get this done. Folks, all right, piratemoney.com. Piratemoney.com.
Pirate Money book.
Book, Doug. Well, wait a minute. Where's the link for keeping up with the legislation? That's
transactionalgold.com. Or for you, constitutionalcurrency.org. Constitutional currency, because you'll remember that, because everybody that listens to this knows the Constitution. Yeah. Constitutionalcurrency.org or transactionalgold.com, they go to the very same place.
And the good thing is, by the time this actually airs, there'll be wonderful little, you know, at the bottom of the screen. And
it's already passed.
Maybe like over our faces.
Our friend Ken Ivory got a portion of this passed in Utah just last week.
Literally,
now we
got
to get the governor to sign it. Yes.
Yeah. All right, good stuff happening. And by the way, before we go, tell us about Liberty Hawk Ranch, because I mentioned it at the beginning, and I don't think we talked about that in our last interview.
Liberty Hawk Ranch is dedicated to promoting liberty, security, and values for Americans. And we're working with a bunch of organizations like We Love Patriot Academy. We love Paul Blair and Liberty Pastors. We love Citizens Defending Freedom, with Steve Maxwell. And we're working to help all of them. And we're sponsored by our friends Timothy Plan and Patriot Mobile, and we're working to help all of them grow their audience and take back this nation for Christ.
Amen. Amen. Lots of work to do. Glad to have Kevin Freeman in the tavern. We'll be back in just a minute. Well, that was Kevin Freeman joining me for a tavern interview. Once again, you can watch the tavern at Warrior Poet Society Network or at Patriot U. And I often have guests like Kevin and John Amachuku and John Lovell and all these folks coming in to talk about the strategies and tactics that can save the nation. And this is one of them. And it's a constitutional process. And it is great to see the victories. Now, of course, as we were doing the interview there in the tavern with Kevin, that was prior to the passage in Arkansas and these other states that are now following suit. And so we were still working to get the first state to pass. It was close at the time we did the interview, but not quite over the hump. And so Sarah Huckabee Sanders, governor of Arkansas, signed that just a few days ago. Just a tremendous, tremendous victory. And now Florida and Texas and several other states following right behind. So this is, you know, I think one of the things that we
I guess, have done such a bad job in our education at doing is not just the civics education, but the economics education and understanding what makes a good economy. Frankly, even the things like tariffs that we've talked about today and some of these things that maybe we thought, you know, that's too far in the weeds or too much to teach in schools now. And so we just got away from it when we dumbed down the education. And we all need to learn more about this. I mean, that's why I love listening to people like Bob McEwen and Kevin Freeman and others and getting the chance to learn from them is because, number one, they're great at teaching it in a way that I can understand it. Let's just be honest on economics. I mean, I'm a Milton Friedman guy. I think he was the greatest economist of the last century. My son's favorite economist is Thomas Sowell. He's my second favorite. But I think what made Milton Friedman so incredibly powerful was how he could whimsically explain these economic issues. And that's really a lot of what Bob McEwen does as well and Kevin Freeman. So I think this has been good for all of us to listen to these interviews, to learn these things. If you want to dive a little deeper and you want to get further into understanding how the Republic works, not just on the economic side, but even the electoral process and just the legislative process, being able to pass bills. You know, what does it take to actually take an idea, get a legislator to adopt that idea, get that bill into the system, and then get enough colleagues of that legislator to vote for it and support it all the way through the process, from getting the speaker to assign it the right to committee to getting that committee to have a hearing, getting the chairman to be willing to have a hearing, to getting enough members on that committee to vote for that bill, to get it out of that committee and then get it into calendars and then get it set on the House floor, the Senate floor if you're starting over there, and then get it passed in that chamber, then get it and start all over when you get to the other chamber and get it passed there, and then get the governor to sign it. I mean, it is a lengthy, difficult process. And so sometimes we get mad at our legislators for not getting something done quickly, and we don't realize it is tough to pass a bill, and it should be tough. We don't want it to be easy. We want it to be tough because you're talking about the law of the land. And so you want it to be a difficult process so that only the cream of the crop rises to the top. At least that's what you hope for. And in order to get a bill passed, you have to get a significant majority of your state to support that. If you want to learn that process better, you need to come spend a couple of days with me at the Patriot Academy campus. The Patriot Experience is designed for exactly that. We've been doing this 25 years now, doing some sort of legislative simulation, either in a state capitol, which we started in Texas, did it for 10 years just at the capitol in Texas. Then we started going to Idaho and Arizona and Delaware and Florida and now Indiana and Colorado and all over the country. But our Texas one, it grew so much that we actually built our own capitol, our own house chamber and legislative hall at the Patriot Academy campus so that you could come any time of the year. And right now we're doing it about once a month where we have what we call the Patriot Experience, and you can bring your family. You can have 13 and up, 13 years old and up, can be a legislator for those 3 days. And it's actually kind of fun to do it with your family. I've seen grandparents come with their grandkids and go through the process, parents and their older children. It's a great system for really experiencing the Republic, really experiencing what it's like to be in a legislative simulation, and it's going to make you better at talking to your state rep or your state senator, or taking an idea you might have and getting it put into legislation, or maybe just standing up in front of a school board or a city council and testifying. I can promise you 100%, after 25 years of doing this, that this legislative simulation, this Patriot Experience that we do, that we're very good at doing, this is what God's gifted us to do at Patriot Academy, it will make you a better citizen. 100% guaranteed. It'll make you more effective. And who knows, but that God will put some sort of calling on your life while you're here with us and going through that experience to get even more involved in the system. But at a minimum, simply become a better citizen. So check that out today at patriotacademy.com. Come for one of our programs and send your young people to one of the state capitol programs. And let's start passing that torch of freedom. We're right on the cusp of the 250th, so it's time to do it right now. Thanks for listening today. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they just received more support from others or had more financial security. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. The reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision, and they're being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them. That doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you're not only supporting women, you empower them.
Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life. It'll give her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the word baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.